children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make it known and make him famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah.
Good morning. I don't know where Tommy is. He must have been kidnapped by aliens or something. I don't know. But anyway, my name's Mike Lee, and I want to welcome you to our service here at Blacksburg Baptist Church. If this is your first time to visit or first time in a long time, we'd like to know who you are. Hope that you'll fill out one of the connection cards in the back of the pew, and you can place that in the offering plate later in the service. For those of you who are watching online, there's information there that you can also sign and send it in to us. We'd love to hear from you, but thank you for being here this morning. We're here to worship the Lord together as his people. I hope that you've noticed our bulletin. We have some announcements in there. I trust that you'll take some time to read those, but I want to point out particularly our canned food drive, and I've been told that we have 3,283 cans collected so far with 1 week to go, and our goal it's 5,000. Is that right, Brian? And we've had an anonymous donor that is matching our funds, so we certainly want to reach that goal. So I know that we'll do that. So if you're out shopping, buy a few extra things and bring it by here. We also want to introduce to you our new piano player, and I'm going to let Charlotte do that.
My battery's dead. Hate it when that happens. This is Justin Wynn. Justin is a sophomore at Virginia Tech, majoring in computer engineering and music, with the primary instrument of the cello, and he is giving us a tryout for a few weeks. So we are thrilled to have him here on the piano joining us. I know you'll give him a warm welcome.
All right, it's good to have Justin with us. It's good to have Tommy McDeris here. He's walking in even as I speak. So let's have a prayer together, shall we? Thank you, O God, for this day, this Sabbath day that you've set apart for us to come aside from all the other things that we've been doing this week, to come together as your people, brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you, the Almighty God. And we know that you're in this place, Lord. You're with us this very moment, even as I speak. And we know that you are always speaking to us. So give us ears to hear. May our worship be pleasing to you, to your ears, and to your sight. For we offer this prayer all In the name of Jesus, amen.
So let's all stand together and worship.
Let it be.
myself today so I can learn how to walk with you and be more like you. Show me your ways.
Show me your ways, that I may walk with you. Show me your ways, and I'll put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to know you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Show
you know, all music is a prayer. We've just been singing some prayers this morning. Just a closer walk with thee. Open the eyes of my heart. Show me your ways, O Lord. So as we prayed this morning, I know that there are special needs in our church family. Most of you or many of you know that Ernie McLeod passed away this week suddenly, and we certainly want to remember Carlene and his entire family. So certainly we want to be in prayer for them, others that we know that are hurting. Ike Eller has been in the hospital this past week and is at Warm Hearth in a care facility there. But I noticed Virgil Cook is here this morning in the choir, and Virgil has not been feeling well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and remember these and so many others that need our prayers. Oh God, when we are gathered in this, your house, to worship you, we're reminded of your presence and of the fact that we often live from day to day with little awareness of your being present. We go about our daily activities, our busy ways, conducting our business, eating our meals, traveling the streets and highways, checking our phones constantly, without sensing that you are nearer to us than the very things that we touch or the people that we meet. So if we may be granted one prayer, let it be that we may live more sensitively, with eyes to see and ears to hear, with souls to know that you are here and that your being here makes all the difference in who we are and how we exist in this your world. Teach us to live in hope and in love so that we're not always anxious about things that don't really matter that much, and that we may share with one another the best that we are and not the poorest, as we so often do. Help us to be grace-filled, knowing that it is by your grace that we've been saved, not as a result of any works that we have done, but because it is a good gift from you, freely given. Let the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ be in us also, guiding and directing our paths towards the fulfillment and the wholeness that you want to give us. Oh God, we hold before you this morning the concerns of our hearts and all those who have special needs, people who have received bad news they didn't expect to hear this week, people who have lost loved ones, people who are dealing with their health, people who are struggling with finances and family issues, people who are just generally anxious about life and concerned about their future. Reveal to us, O God, ways of sharing who we are and what we possess with those who long for just a ray of hope in their lives. And as we have opportunity, help us to be aware of those needs and be the presence of Christ to them. O God, remind us again that your kingdom is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, which when it grows, it's large enough for birds to come in and to nest in it. So consecrate our imaginations to your service that they may help us to fulfill our prayer for your kingdom to blossom among us just like that mustard seed, and help us to be faithful in sowing and trust that you will be faithful in causing the seeds we plant to grow. Oh God, it gives us delight to worship you in the music we have heard and sung, the beauty of this sanctuary, the light that is streaming in through the windows, the sense of one another's presence, the proclamation of your holy word. And I pray that this hour together in your presence will nurture our souls in such a way that we have a greater sense of eternity and our place in it. But most of all, Lord, we pray that our worship will give you delight, and you will be pleased, and you will be blessed by our words and by our actions, for you are our God, and we are your people. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord we offer this prayer in gratitude and in trust. And we pray this prayer that you taught your disciples, and you teach us to pray also. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
is one of my favorite choral pieces. Thank you all for doing that. You did a wonderful job on it. I am sorry I was a little late getting in here this morning. I've spent a chunk of my morning with the police. Somebody vandalized our children's playground last couple of days. It did a lot of damage to it. We don't know how much it's going to cost, but we had to get police reports on it. And then I was trying to catch up on the stuff that I should have been doing while I was meeting with the police. And somebody came and got me and said, "Are you taking a nap?" And I said, "No, I'm not taking a nap. I'm just sitting here being annoyed." So I'm getting over the annoyance. I'll be done in a couple hours. But anyway, alcohol is a wonderful thing. There was one beer can out there. I know one beer didn't fuel that, but that it reminded me of what does sometimes. We're in a university town. It's the reality of stuff that we deal with. But anyway, here we are. Thank you for being here this morning and appreciate your presence. I also appreciate your prayers. I leave this afternoon. I will be going to help lead a seminar that I do at least three times a year, sometimes four or five. It's with law enforcement officers who have been through intense trauma. We'll have about 50 of them at a camp in Harrisonburg that we spend 4 days working with counselors, with everyone else, trying to work them through that. It's the only thing that I do that I can see the clear results of what we've done within 4 days' time, but it is a very draining and painful situation, particularly listening to all of the stories. The first day of that is what we call drinking from a fire hose of suffering. So be in prayer for that. It's always a difficult time. Back at least 20 years ago, maybe 15, but I think 20 years ago, Kelly Sardello was the children's minister at the time. She was going to have to be out. She came to me and asked me if I would do the children's message that morning. I was preaching on prayer, so I decided to do the children's message on prayer. I brought an old telephone with me to church. I sat down with the kids, and then I said, "Now, kids, when you talk to people on the telephone, you can't see them, but you know they're there, right?" And they all nodded. And I said, "Talking to God is like talking on the telephone. God's there, and He's always listening, even if you can't see Him." They all sat there for just a couple of seconds, and they stared at me like deers in headlights. And then one of them yelled out, "How did you get that thing in your pocket?" That's when it occurred to me that those children had never seen a phone that you couldn't carry in your pocket. Most of them had never seen a real telephone, one like I grew up with. So, needless to say, after I got through with that, they did not understand the point that I was trying to make at all. That whole children's sermon was a complete disaster. It was entertaining, particularly for the adults, but it was a disaster except for one very important thing. A couple of adults came up to me after church and they said, "I wish God had a telephone. I'd love to be able to talk to Him and just air my grievances or talk to Him about stuff sometimes." The truth of the matter is, we all would. We really do wish that could be the case. Apparently, we're not the only people who feel that way. We're hearing a lot these days about the decline of Christianity in America, but apparently, it hasn't stopped some people from praying. According to a recent poll, 78% of Americans say they pray at least occasionally. 57% said they prayed at least once a month. And just shy of 40% said they prayed every day. And what's even more interesting is 91% of women and 75% of men said they prayed at least a few times a year. Now think about that just a little bit. 91% of America were identified as Christians in 1990. In 2002, that percentage is only 64%. But 78% of people say they pray at least occasionally. So it's not that people don't believe in God. If they didn't believe in God, they wouldn't take time to pray. The problem isn't that people don't believe. The problem is people just don't seem to know what God to pray to anymore. And apparently, we're not doing a very good job of showing and telling people about the God that we serve because the church is losing our battle all over our country. But 78% of people are still praying, which means people know they need God. we have something to build on, because people still know they need something that is bigger than them, that is beyond them, that has a power that they can't conjure just within themselves. There are two conclusions that you can come to from this survey that we have seen. The first one is nobody prays unless they think there's something to pray to. And the second one is people pray because they believe it's effective. They believe that there's power to be found in prayer. However, there's one more statistic in that study that's very revealing. Even though 78% of people at least pray occasionally, most of them said they found it very difficult to pray specifically, which means most people have a hard time asking God for what they really need, for the specific things that they need. Now, to me, that alone was very interesting. Why would you pray if you're not going to ask God for what you really need? I think the answer to that is because we humans are very independent creatures. Even when we know we need something, we have a very hard time of asking for what we need. That's particularly true for Americans. By far, Americans are the most independent individuals in the world. We're independent almost to a fault, so we find it very hard sometimes to ask for help, to ask for the things that we need. True story. I heard this one myself. One day I was in Best Buy. There was an older gentleman that came into Best Buy. He had bought a computer the day before. He went to one of the salesmen. He said, "I'm embarrassed, but I bought a new computer here yesterday, and I need to ask you a question about it." The salesman said, "That's not a problem. What kind of computer did you buy?" He said, "I bought a MacBook Pro." He said, "Oh, that's a great computer. How can I help you?" When it did, the man's face turned red, and he looked around. He leaned over toward the salesman. He said, "Can you show me how to turn the darn thing on?" We don't like asking for help, even when we know that we need it. And that's not just true of people, that's also true with God. And that's not good. We need to be willing to ask God for exactly what we need, because there are things that God won't do for us unless we ask for help. Why? Because there are lessons that you can't learn unless you ask for help. I think all of you know that I'm really into gardening. I plant way too many flowers every spring and spend too much money on it. My son Brandon inherited that gene as well. He actually enjoys working in the yard even more than I do. When Brandon was a little fellow, I had bought a bunch of supplies to fertilize and seed our yard. Brandon wanted to help me, so he went out and he started trying to get one of the bags of seed off the back of the pickup truck into the wheelbarrow, and he just couldn't get it. And so he pulled and he pulled and he pulled and nothing would happen. So he turned around and he said, "Dad, I can't pick it up." I said, "You can if you'll use all of your strength. Try again." So he tried again. He couldn't get it. So he started getting mad, which was always a short trip for Brandon. And he said, "I can't get it." And when he did, I said, "You can get it if you'll use all your strength. Let me show you." And so I went over and I reached down and I got the majority of the bag. I said, "You get the other end of it." And he did. And we both went over and we picked it up and we put it into the wheelbarrow. When we did, I said, "You couldn't get it because you didn't use all your strength. You didn't ask for help. If you'll ask for help, you can do twice as much as you can by yourself." The two of us together had twice as much strength. Brandon looked at me and he said, "Or you could have just moved it for me." The point is, we don't like asking for help, but there are things that we can't learn if we don't. And that's not just true in life, that's also true with faith. One of the most beautiful verses of Scripture in the Bible is the one we're focusing on today, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Pay very careful attention to the sequence of this verse. Look at it one more time. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land." There are things that God won't do for us unless we ask Him, primarily because it's not good for any parent to just do whatever a child wants, whatever they want it, even when they don't even realize that they want it. Why? Because we need to learn the importance of humility. We need to be humble enough to ask for help. Why? Because there's power in humility. We don't know everything that there is to know, and we can't do everything in life by ourselves. We need each other and we need God, because there's huge strength available to us if we'll just be humble enough to realize it. At the beginning of World War II, Norway was a neutral nation that had a very small military. The Norwegian people thought that their neutrality and their peaceful intentions and honestly their weakness would be enough to protect them from an invasion. In their minds, in their way of thinking, if they didn't have a military that could be a threat to other countries, why would any country attack them? And that theory seemed to work just fine with them until they ran into a nut job called Adolf Hitler. Hitler wanted Norway as a barrier between him and Great Britain, and most of all, he wanted access to their abundance of iron ore. So Hitler invaded Norway, and Norway couldn't stop him, and so the Norwegian people suffered terribly for 6 years under the Nazis. When World War II was over, the Norwegian people realized they had made a huge mistake. They were a small country and they needed help to defend themselves. And so they were one of the first countries to join the NATO alliance to be able to defend themselves against the threat of the Soviet Union. And until this day, that country spends more on, by percentage, on defense than a lot of larger NATO countries do. Humility is a gift, because it reminds us that we're not supposed to live on our own. We need each other and we need God, but it's hard to get help when you won't admit that you need it and if you won't ask for it, which means there's value in learning to ask. There are some things God won't do unless we ask. If my people will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear their prayer. There's power available to us when we can admit that we need God in our lives. And that's the key here. God isn't withholding something just to make us miserable. What He wants is for us to learn what our greatest need in life truly is. And our greatest need is for a relationship with God. But it's hard, very hard for us to know that we need that until the day comes when we have a need that only God can meet. And until we understand that, we're going to always be trying to fill that void with something else that can make us feel okay within our lives, with family, with career, with success, with money, with sex, with fun, with you name it. The stuff that causes people to rip down a children's playground. Those kinds of things. We all have our potions in life that make us feel the lull of life. They make us feel full, make us feel satisfied, make us feel independent for a little while. But whether we like it or not, what we need more than anything else is God. But God isn't going to force Himself into our lives. Even though He sees us as His family, He is not going to force us to come to the family gathering. Remember what this verse says. If my people who are called by my name, God sees us as His children, whether we want to admit we're His children or not. He's already offering us His name. But if we want to be part of that family, and if we want to have the strength that comes from the family patriarch and from our relatives that gather around us, then we have to choose to be part of that family. A few years ago, there was a big story that came out of Charlottesville, Virginia. The descendants of Thomas Jefferson were planning a big family gathering at Monticello, and they invited almost all of Thomas Jefferson's descendants to come and be part of that party. However, Thomas Jefferson had a relationship with one of his slaves, a woman named Sally Hemings. In fact, he had several children by Sally Hemings. So, when the family reunion started at Monticello, a lot of the Heming family showed up for that family reunion. The older generation of the Jeffersons didn't like that at all, and they did the very best they could to try to bar the Hemings family from coming to that reunion. Now, I've got to admit something to you folks. Those of us in Blacksburg probably enjoyed that feud a lot more than we should have. I mean, UVA until this day refers to Virginia Tech as that Cal College in Blacksburg. So the fact that they were having a issue around this, I couldn't help but find that a little bit of fun. We kind of got a kick out of watching those people in Charlottesville get all bent over their African descendants showing up at the family party. And the story got even better for those of us who are in Blacksburg when the UVA History Department got all in a tizzy trying to find the truth of this story. Like anybody else doubted that Jefferson had had a thing with Sally Hemings, like anybody else had a doubt that he had been with his slave and had children. But the most interesting part of the story isn't that part of the story. It isn't even folks getting messed up. It's what happened after that story. 2 years later, the Heming family decided they would have a family reunion on their own. And when they did, they invited all of the Jefferson descendants to come and be part of that party. They invited all of the people that they knew they were kin to come and join in that reunion. Whether the Jeffersons wanted to admit it or not, the Hemings knew the Jeffersons were part of their family. And so they invited every one of them to come and celebrate. Everybody was invited because they were all from the same name. But it was up to the Jeffersons to decide if they were going to be part of the family gathering. Most of the older generation of the Jeffersons didn't go to that party, but most of the younger generation of the Jeffersons did. And the result was that the younger Hemings and the younger Jeffersons became very close. And today, over 20 years later, the Jeffersons and the Hemings have one family reunion every year at Monticello, and they've become a very close-knit family of people who are united by the family name, and they enjoy each other's company. They even help develop the history that came from that family. Most of the older generation of Jeffersons would not admit the truth, but the younger generation found strength and unity by living into that truth. God already sees us as His children. But if we want to be part of the family name, if we want to be part of the power, we have to want to be at one with our Heavenly Father. God is always reaching out for us because He loves us and He cares about us. But we have to be humble enough to respond to that love, because we can't be part of that strength unless we are willing to admit that we need that strength. For our own good, there are some things that God just won't do unless we ask for it. So we need to be specific in our prayers. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." We can have our best life now if we'll unite with the Father who loves us. But God's not going to force His way into our lives. He wants us to find His blessings by choice. He wants us to choose to be part of His family. And the only way we can do that is by finding His blessings through prayer, by choosing to pray to our Father.
For centuries, Christians have been known as men and women of prayer, people who lift up their cares and concerns to the Father in heaven. Why is that? Why do we pray? We pray because it aligns the mind of the Christian with the will of Christ. We pray because Jesus commanded us to pray at all times, in all places. We pray because the God who knows all and sees all hears all. We pray because it is the blessed link between human weakness and divine omnipotence. We pray not because it is some religious rule, but because the Lord is God. We pray because it is the most simple and practical way to say, I am not God. We pray not because it is a burden to us, but because it liberates us from all other burdens. We pray because it is exactly what the devil does not want us to do. We pray because God can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 years. We pray because it is the one thing that supersedes everything else on our to-do list today. We pray because we are too busy not to pray. We pray because somewhere, sometime, someone prayed for us. And we pray because the greatest tragedy of the Christian life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Prayer is powerful. That's why we pray.
God, you have promised us that if we will pray to you, you will listen. And so we come to you today, O Lord, offering you our prayers, offering you our love, offering you our faith. It's not easy, Lord, to pray sometimes. Sometimes we don't even find ourselves in the mood to pray, but you have commanded us to pray. To pray in the mundane times, to offer you the mundane prayers, to pray as we're just going down the road, to pray when we wake up in the morning, to pray when things are going very well, and to pray especially when things are not. Lord, remind us that we don't pray to just the outskirts of the universe. We pray to something specific, and that is a Father who loves us more than we can ever love our own children. You're on our side. You believe in us when we don't deserve it. And you want to empower us to be all that we can be. Help us, O Lord, to be willing to pray to you today. Some of us need to pray that very first starting prayer that begins a relationship with you. Help us to be willing to do that, Lord. To start by saying, Lord, I know that there's something missing in my life, and I now believe that it's you. Come into my life. Forgive me for trying to be independent and to do life without you. Help me to want to join in a partnership with you. Come and live in my heart and empower me to be everything you ever wanted me to be, and fill me with the meaning of life that comes from knowing your grace and your love. Lord Jesus, help us to pray and be sincere in our praying, and help us to know that by praying to you, we find things that we can never find any other way. Hear our prayer today, Lord, for it's in your name we offer it. Amen.
The light.
this has been your road to walk. He bore your pain, he wore your cross. Lift your head. Morning is coming, there's more to the story. His faithfulness, perfect, sovereign, fortress, great is his faithfulness. Abba, my Father, comfort, great is his faithfulness, Redeemer, Restorer, Sustainer.
Thank you, Kimberly. That was beautiful. If you've come here today and you've chosen to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you want to and you're still not sure how, we'll be here at the close of the service, and if you'll come, we'll help you with that. If you want to join our church, if you'll come forward, we'll make sure that that is taken care of as well. But as we leave this place, let's go into this world knowing very well that Jesus is with us and that he's waiting to hear from us. Let us be willing to pray. And let us believe in what can happen through the power of prayer. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone.